Welcome to the Unrefined Sophisticates. You are listening to Ken and Morgan Jones. Feel free to tune in on all podcast platforms and make sure to subscribe and comment. It doesn't have to be nice, they just want to hear your input. With that out of the way, get your ears ready, because you're going to want to hear this one. I gotta have my drink, pour me something in the cup.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. I am your host, Ken Jones, to that box next to me,
Morgan Jones.
We are on episode 194.1 on your FM dial. We'll get to the reason being of that in just a quick moment. But before we get into that, let's start with the goodness. Oh, siente noventi. Yeah. I give it. I might have crashed out. Just got excited. I was ChatGPT was in the ear. Duolingo.
Okay.
App.
No.
Thought that it was giving me the go. It was predictive text running through my ear, and it might have shot me down. Anyways, shout out to Houston, H-Time down. I've been listening to Big Les all week, so I feel like that's probably what it is. He somehow knew I was playing the playlist, turned me up, 84s and they poking that all down block time. So shout out to y'all. Shout out to Vancouver for being our top listening city outside of Portland, Oregon. We're going to shout out to France and the United Kingdom for being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Shout out to our sponsor, The Nine Brand. You can check out the latest and the greatest at vixbrand.co.com. Don't let your autocorrect browser mess it up for you. You can follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. You can follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow our sponsor at VIXBRAND. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double up those entendres. A yes.
A yes.
Mm-hmm. Hello there.
Hello there.
Wonderful hair. I'm going to keep commenting that the hair, the color, the curl.
You know,
triple C's click over there.
Shout out to Lily. She really does. She does the things for the stuffs, you know?
Yeah.
Got my color right. Got my cut right. My curls is popping.
Yeah, it came through.
I appreciate it, though.
It's interesting what color can do for a face. Like, shout out to redheads that decide to darken their hair. Sometimes it makes that person look like a whole different person.
Real life.
And no knock on a redhead. That's not what that was meaning to sound like. But there's definitely times of me seeing people do their, you know, go from their dark brown to an auburn or something like that. And it's like, oh, that's a fancy. Like, that works well with skin tones. You know what I mean? Like, especially, I think, getting into the reds, the subtle reds on certain skin tones, just it brings something up out of it. I was looking back at photos of, I was actually having a conversation yesterday about my locks, because I'm realizing now people are back outside and they're seeing me. They're just now realizing that I don't have hair no more. As I, for myself and for anybody that's like, how could that be? I used to always have my joint in a ponytail anyway. So if you're looking at me head on, being that I got a hat on, can't see the sides or the top, I can understand how people may have missed it. But in one of those conversations I was having, was talking about like the first time of putting color in my hair, and it was color, but it was brightening up the tips, bleaching the tips. Mm-hmm. And when I did it, part of the reason that I did it was to seal the ends, because the dyeing it, you know, or lightening it, bleaching it, dries out and like fizzes. And I did it as a means to tighten the ends on my joints, because I started my hair with braids. So I started with singles because my texture of hair won't stay. Yeah, it will not. And I put quite a couple hundred dollars into twists to find out that all it takes is a sweat for me to unravel those twists. So anyways, there was a weird, you know, phase as you let braids turn into matted hair. And yeah, so it was a lot going on. Shout out to Clear Rubber Bands for getting me, you know, getting me through. Yes. So that's like that process. And when I had did the dyeing, it just gave my hair so much character. When I had did that, I felt like, you know, especially once I got to the point, like there's always this point when growing dreads, when you start your locks, anybody that has them knows that moment when you're actually long enough to style so you could actually braid them or throw them up into something and actually get them into a rubber band or a ponytail. That's just a moment. And, you know, once they're actually at a little bit of hang portion where when you turn, they're given the little mop buckets flip. So or mop string flip.
And, like this.
And so there's a picture, though, where it's like a perfect, to this day, it pops up every so often, I think, too, because I was flamed up. Destiny was flamed up. And it was like just perfect in terms of the health and body of the hair that was coming out. And it was like, yeah, that was really a moment. And then when I grew it out more and I had cut my ends multiple times and didn't have the dye in there, it was like definitely made it look different. And that's all to say, hair color can do a lot.
It can. It's fun.
I likes it. I likes it. So have you been outside today?
I have. It's like exactly what I want the weather to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I hadn't been out until not too long ago. And I feel like yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah. Yesterday to me felt like the perfect day. Temperature wise, there was a breeze flowing through with the sunshine that made me appreciate the coming summer. Although I know it can take a quick turn and get into that I don't mess with you zone of heat. Right. But when there's that nice little breeze blowing, no, it was actually Friday. I take that back. It was Friday. Now that I'm thinking about it, it was Friday daytime. Had went and did a lunch and sat outside and was like, yeah, this is a moment. Definitely a moment in time. Today got a little, I got a little hot. Walking around, had my heat flash. Like, oh, my face is shiny.
Over here, it's just like kind of perfect. It's okay. It's, I think what you're describing as Friday to have been, because it's like, I don't know, 78 or something. It's like not too warm at all, and it's breezy. It's nice out there right now.
I love it. Oh, how are you? How's your head?
You know, not great, but doing what we do. It just keeps going sometimes. And like, I was talking to Lily earlier and was just like, how did I do life before? Like, I used to, you know, like, just be at work. Like, really be at work in bright fluorescent lights, like, just... That's what I'm going to spend these next 8 to 10 hours.
When did they start for you?
Migraines started for me when I was in elementary school, but then I got glasses and they went away. And so we thought, oh, that's because she couldn't see. And then they were gone for a long time and then came back. I always do this. I can't remember if it's like, right at the end of high school or right at, you know, like, but they, or right late teens, early 20s. But then they came back at some point. When I moved to Denver, I didn't have any, I think.
Yeah.
And so I thought
the elevation,
maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly.
That mile high air.
But then they came back with a vengeance, like, early 30s. So like just bad.
You think it's about because you're around so many libs?
Definitely. No, it's honestly why I think they're hormonal and more hormonal than other things. Like I've told you, I have different triggers and there's random stuff I can't have, but like I know that there's specific kinds of migraines that I get, and one is like a pressure headache, which is what I had going on Saturday or whatever. What is tight is learning your body in a way that allows you to predict certain things. What is also not tight is there's no way to like stop it from happening. It's like, what good does this information do me other than, okay, I'll probably not be able to function tomorrow. We'll see.
The only thing that I have that slight bit of is, so I've talked about a hell of times on here about the way that I get heartburn. It's that knot in my stomach. And now I know the signs of when it's about to come, so I can take whatever heartburn stuff I need to take immediately, because once it kicks into gear, there's no stopping it for, you know, a good day or so. And so it's interesting where it's like, I know if there are certain cuts of steak, right? Not all steaks, but one of the things I think it has to do with is how it breaks down. So I slice my steak in thin slices, but if there's some situation where I just got chunks, it's like, no matter how, like, I can't just cut a square of steak, and no matter how much I chew it and swallow, I can almost, by the time I'm finished with the meal, walking away from the table, I'll know if this is about to get tricky. And again, it's not like a thing like, oh, my stomach is good. It's a knot. It's not like I've got to use the bathroom, none of the stuff. It just is. And it's this uncomfortable, no matter what. It's almost like I need my body to be like, this is what provides relief, is like doing that. But that's the only thing that I really have that I've gotten dialed in, knowing when that's about to come. And I usually, if there is something like me mindlessly not paying attention to it, as soon as I feel that little thing, I can think back like, oh, I ate beef. Okay, that's what it's from. That's, there was some kind of chunky beef going on. But it don't do it with like tacos or something. So that's where it's like specifically like a cut of man steaks.
You know, there are a bunch of like, well, I don't know about a bunch, but there are migraine medications that are supposed to be preventative. So, oh, you feel a migraine coming on, take this, and it's supposed to hopefully stop it. To my knowledge, I have tried every single one of these things, and they have never worked. They work for other people. Other people swear by it. And so it would be tight if that were true for me, and I was able to be like, well, tomorrow the pressure drops like crazy, I'll be able to, or tomorrow I'm gonna start my cycle, I could just, you know, but like, none of those things. None of them.
Dang.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. We're gonna figure it out.
Does sex make it go away for a moment? Like, no. In your experience? No?
No.
Dang.
No. Like, you cannot focus on, like, if you have something else to focus on, right?
Yeah.
There are certain things that are going to just dull a little bit, but like, nah, the whole situation, and depending on how bad the migraine is, like, nah. Yikes. It's weird because when you start getting like nauseated and it feels like no matter what, it's light, it's sound, it's all like things that should not make you feel like you're gonna throw up or whatever, like that do. And so like adding in something like that is like not as distracting as you think it would be.
Speaking of like distraction, something that was distracting me, I had to go get my root canal did, right? And so it was a two-part process, right? So I had went the previous Wednesday to get some, like, some of the fluid released and so on. And the dentist's assistant, when she came into the room to do the x-rays, I was like, I had this moment of, do I smell must? And my first thought wasn't, it's her. I was like, hold on, because like I just showered before coming here, and you know that I had the same moment at the event Saturday of, did I put deodorant? Like, I have a process, so usually that's never a question,
right?
But I didn't do my process in the same way, which threw off my ability to recall if it had happened or not. Luckily, it had happened, but when I was in there, I'm like, no, I definitely And I was like, okay, maybe I'm dripping. Maybe I'm just, maybe it's, honestly was like, maybe it's my cologne right now, because
different with a different.
Yeah. There's one of the colognes that I've been doing. I'm blanking. It's not musk. There's a name. Anyways, I was like, maybe that's coming through my nostrils weirdly. Then she happened to do a couple more. And there's a difference of like, I forgot deodorant today. And this is set into my.
Oh. Uh-huh. So,
she walks back by and does this thing to put this joint on my head, over my head. And I was, oh, that's her. So I was like, I get it. Maybe you were in a rush today. It happens. Cool. So put a check mark into that. Whatever. I go into the dentist room. Don't see her no more. Cool. Fast forward to this past on Wednesday, getting the final extraction to happen. She's not the dental assistant to this time, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And my mind went with the last one of like, okay, you're just a natural, you're going on natural. And I was like, maybe that's it. And halfway through this procedure, they come in to have to take x-rays through to see how the whatever they feel in that place as they pull all the nerves out. She walks in. Now, mind you, I'm laid back. I've got my mouth open with the little blue cape on it, one tooth poking through the cape. This isn't a big room, but she walks over me. So like the bottom of her scrub, you know how scrubs fit? Yeah. Just the wind of musk landed on my nostrils. And I'm not even joking here because I'm laid back. The lady, his actual assistant, isn't giving me the, isn't getting the saliva sucker going. So I've got this like pool that's building of, when I tell you I choked on my choking on my spit because of her must. And there was like nobody to say, like there was really like my body did like a convulse of like, I'm like, wait, feeling like I'm about to drown.
Yeah, somebody and gotta get this out.
Yeah, and so I was able to, like, in that I had to swallow. So I was like, I could have swallowed all kind of tooth fiber, like
all the
just, it was a lot that was going on. But I was just like, you're choosing this. And people were in the office working with you. I just feel, I understand having like, you know, religious exceptions and things like that, but to just be musty and be in that close contact with patients seems like it should be something that we need to talk about with HR. You might have to get a role that involves not being in the room with patients. But she walked over me several more times throughout the procedure. And I don't understand how y'all are just in here hanging out like this. And she didn't have Crocs on. They look like actual clogs. And I was like, that's a choice.
Well, to be fair, the clogs were like the shoe for folks.
Yeah, but she was also young, and I feel like that was a decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
And both are kind of spendy for what they are, right? So it's like, if you're going to choose one,
yeah,
I don't know. It wouldn't be the clog for me, but.
But yeah, shout out to the naturalistas out there. I mean, I guess you want to make sure you forego possibly getting cancer. I understand. I'm not mad at it, but also I could have died.
Okay.
You could have had a lawsuit in your hands, bud.
as a manager at a place, I had to have a talk with someone about their hygiene, and that was one of the worst experiences of being a manager ever. Like,
can I chat with you after lunch?
Probably. Hey, can we have a quick one when you're back from break? I like don't know at all how I started that, but it was a rough one, and it's the kind of thing that like all the other managers, I was the youngest manager, only young, definitely the only black one there. Like it was, y'all set me up. Y'all set me up to fail. Like that was, yuck.
What was the must issue, or is it just a BO in general?
Speculation was like something has to be dead inside.
Oh, gotcha.
We're gonna, like, when's the last time you went to the doctor? Kind of thought. You know?
Okay.
Like, something's rotten.
Yeah. I wonder that with breath sometimes, of because there's a difference of like, oh, not so fresh mouth. Like, I can understand, like, you're getting dry mouth just in talking a lot through a day. And if you're not consistently drinking the waters, like, I can understand those. But then there's that joint that's like, it's sharp. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's a sharpness with their mouth that is like, you have to, I feel like for your breath to come out that close to your nose, there is a level of,
I feel like they don't, it, but people,
maybe they go nose blind to it because it's like, just
always there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I think back to when I had my tooth had broke and had cracked in the back. And like, I didn't immediately go to the dentist. It was just like, got used to like, oh, just,
it's just
suck crack my back tooth. And if it goes in there,
get it out.
It was a time, it was something the day that I had smelled my joint of like, I don't know if that was just a, it could have been anything, a day, right? And I said, and I was like, there's no way. And like, really sat there and I was like, I gotta go get this joint yanked. Like, this ain't that. I thought that I was making this work, and I was like, yeah, I'm not even playing with this to let this be something that keep going. I think I was like 25, 26, somewhere in there. I was like, yeah, this can't, I will not be that guy.
Real quick, my guy.
Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to have been able to save it and have did like a crown and stuff. I couldn't afford it in the moment. So I was like, take it out.
Yeah. It's yours. Yeah. Have at it.
Yeah.
That Speaking was of it's yours.
Yeah.
It's the 5th anniversary today.
It's yours. It's yours.
And one, when I say what the thing is, I'm hoping that people listening to this will be as equally shocked as I was to know that this was 5 years ago.
Yes.
But we are at the 5th anniversary of the Drake and Pusha beef coming to a head, as they say.
As they say.
Giving us...
saying it.
What was the run? It was like... I can't remember the name of the first of Pusha's diss, and then Drake's was Duppy.
Yeah.
And then a few days later, we get the story of Added On.
Which, it was a moment.
A moment. The amount of times that I will say to this very day, you are hiding a child. Like, even when it doesn't necessarily apply.
Yeah.
The way he said it.
Yes.
Never one of the most like shocking moments. Fam, that little back and forth between them. Epic.
I was going to say, listening back to it, somebody on the Twitters had made a video where they were like overlaying images of things that were to get. So if you didn't get the bar, here's what is being said.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there was a couple I didn't even catch. And I was like, that's kind of icy.
Yeah.
Like, man's was really playing around on tundering through that thing.
Push. One thing we could always say about Push.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to find a way to put baby in a bar,
yeah,
that should make us all like not be okay with baby's existence. But so many of them go over people's heads because they don't realize that he's talking about baby.
Yes.
Herman.
Yes.
You know, like they
not the JR. Don't touch
it, but he definitely like give. It's what he does.
Yeah.
So. I saw the first thing I saw on the Twitters today was shout out to Old Man Ebro, who was a radio personality in Portland for many years.
Wait, what?
What?
He was a what?
Radio.
Oh, I don't know why I heard local radio personality.
I didn't say that, but that is what I was saying. I said in Portland. You didn't know?
Oh, so I'm not. Oh, I had zero knowledge of that.
Jammin'. When Jammin' first started, Ebro was on. Yeah.
No, I had no idea.
Oh, that's wild.
Crazy.
It's not even like I could give you years either. I don't know.
Okay. But
he was here for a minute. Like,
okay.
Doing that. Anyway, he's on Hot 97 now and has been for hella years. So many years. But he put out today the picture that came along with the story of Adidon, which is a picture of Drake in blackface. And that picture of Drake in blackface.
It's hilarious.
I believe, you know, was he explained it once the picture came out, and I don't remember the exact situation, but it was something to the effect of like this was like an artsy photo.
It had to do with like Big Brother or something. I feel like there was something with a group. Anyways,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like what I remember is it was like supposedly highlighting something. Honestly, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
The reason it doesn't matter is this did nothing to stop Drake's continued rise, right? Or popularity
at all.
And Ebro says Major L shifted the universe, put a ceiling on Drake's legend. And I'm just wondering what he means, what he thinks any of those words mean.
There's people still to this day who have the 2010 mindset that Drake was going to be a flash in the pan. And here we are a decade plus later, and still on a fairly consistent run. Even when the things Drake has the ability to make everybody say that was whack and then have to circle back and be like,
yikes.
I mean, it's a vibe. No. You got to hear it outside.
whatever the scenario is that changed it for them, you got to hear it in your car. You got to hear it outside. You got to sit with, you got to be with your girl. Like whatever the situation is, there will be a situation
that you get it.
Changes all of a sudden.
Yes.
Actually, album of the year.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so with that, I think there's people who definitely not only are holding on to that, Drake, but being that they've seen this historical run, they're waiting for the moment that it comes crashing down. And I feel that he's definitely one of those people that, yes, that was great. What Push did, as we just highlighted, there was a wonderful moment in battling hip hop, whatever you want to, put it under. That was a great moment, but to the effect that you're laying out, chill out, bro. He probably actually added value because, I mean, it was like with that coming out, that then now put Drake on almost another tier because now there's more conversation around him for one. Then he's got the son. Son is now, you know, a part of, we all know what Lil Adidon looks like and enjoy the relationship or seeing the relationship seemingly that they have. So it's not a fail. It's not. This has not been a loss for him in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Yes, we can say that was a crazy good diss and a hell of a revelation to put out before the man himself gave a chance to. But it is what it is, and he ain't lost since.
I look at it like this. I know that anti-blackness doesn't get anyone canceled. That's not a thing, right? Like that's so. Number one, Ebro. LOL. Number two, Drake has been sitting in the center of, hey, doesn't this grown man talk to teenagers all the time? And then they put it in the press and that's not weird at all, is it? Like, he is openly, like, chatting and making friends with literal teenagers. Mm-hmm. If that ain't gonna be a thing, if that don't cut the ceiling or make the ceiling or whatever, there's not one for him. And that's not me saying I am happy for that or whatever, but like the truth of it is there's too many things that are actual big things.
Teflon Ron.
And I mean, fam, if you out here like seriously in the DMs of high schoolers, which we know for certain he has been.
That's crazy.
You expect this picture of when he was in high school or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you think that's going to be the thing that does it? LOL. You saw him coming out here looking like a like try that. There's too many things.
What is your favorite Drake accent? What's the one that gets you going?
Would you say favorite? Is it like the one I like to laugh at the most?
Yes.
Definitely his Jamaican accent. Like, I'm not even going to say Jamaican. I'm going to say island. Like,
the island, when he get into to that mode.
Your head top, my man sounds wild. That's my favorite one.
Okay. Which also, side note, Party Next Door gave the announcement that the PND4 is dropping, and I'm excited beyond measure. Just wanna
one moment
throw that out there.
News you can use.
It's a meme. They gave the announcement, and
finally
Drake got up there though doing the Drake thing, which is hilarious. Of how he, when he's on stage and giving shout outs to people, it's always this whole you inspire me, you're the reason that I like, his shout out to showing love is always that person is the best. But it was funny because he was up there when he said it, he was like, I know I get on stage all the time being nice to people, you know, but this for real, he's like, you like my favorite artist, and you know, giving this whole breakdown. Then he actually says that the PND4 is dropping, so that was like the reveal. But that concert looked litty, I can say that joint looked crazy fun. I would not mind. There was a moment in time of a mixed joint playlist that I had that was all PND, The Weeknd, and that was when Dirty Sprite 2 first dropped. So it was all of that on one mix, and that was my vibe for 2015. Was that like 15-ish is when that Dirty Sprite 2, 14, 15, and that was my mix for a good minute. And to hear some more every time Party drop, it's vibey.
Always.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to that project.
I actually would not. I'm with you on how Drake is always like the best, the most inventive, you inspire every artist that's ever lived.
Yeah.
But him saying Party is his favorite artist, I think is a potential to be true.
Yes.
Because
agreed.
What Party brings to the Drake table, if you will.
Yes. Yes.
Is quite the arsenal of tools. Like, it's not just, you know, beats. It's not just writing. It's arrangement and all. It's the whole thing. So, I mean.
Yes.
He better be.
I am in that to the nth degree. And also, I want to do a concert, but I want to do a concert of like in comfort. I don't want to do a general admission portion of a concert. I want to be in the front that's boxed off from the riffraff.
This is the only way to do concerts in my
opinion. Yeah, I feel like the amount of things, like Larry is coming here, Larry Jones coming, and I would love, but the idea of being in a crowd for a concert, I don't have it in me. I didn't have it in me when I was younger, but especially now, I just don't have it in me.
I feel like I'm gonna have to suspend the way that I feel about being in crowds to see Larry in concert.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna just hit the balcony and be an old person in the balcony.
Well, I could probably do it if I went with a group of my people. So like, I'm in at least the people next to me and so on, or my people, versus just being in the mix and it'd be a bunch of strange people doing their stuff.
It sounds like we're going to plan an outing for the Larry June concert is what that sounds like to me.
I'm down with that.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
I'm with it.
And I'll probably smoke a beady.
It would be so weird to see you smoke anything that wasn't hookah. Like that would put me in a, like, what part of that, which earth is this?
You know, it's the one that I rock in, which is definitely a hilarious of the people who all these decades later, since a teen, but just because of who and what my persona was as a teen, think that I'm lying when I say I don't. Like, they're stuck on it. They're stuck. You know, some of us grow up. Smoking a beady. The funny thing is, I know, Los, I've said it on here before, but that used to be one of my ways to show people back when I was outside, to show homies that I trust you, was I would come back out of retirement just to smoke one with them, just to let them know, like, this is how comfortable and around you that I feel, that I'm willing to be out of my element and out of my zone. So that was like the initiation of, you got the stamp of my loyalty right now.
Yeah, that's super tight. And I feel like, because I have not received that treatment, that you don't in fact trust me. And until you are willing to do exactly this.
Yeah, no. See, it's different in this point, because back then, I'll say the difference is the difference of then is that was a show that, like, I trust that you're going to up it and do the thing if need be. We're not in those type of situations and scenarios. So I feel like there's other ways of being able to show, which is like, you know, phone calls.
Nope.
I respond to texts typically in a timely manner.
Nope.
I guess. Look at these words. I helped you move.
You've helped me move twice.
See? I've came through like, let's lift these boxes. That is the loyalty of loyalties.
Have you helped me move twice? Maybe just once. Okay. Either way.
Whatever it was I've done it.
No, you helped me at my grandma's. So yeah, you continue to help.
See?
And none of it means anything now that I've your own self-imposed, you know, show of trust is that it's going to need to be that. So Lois will come to your house. You won't have to do anything. We'll all be accoutrement. And accoutrement. And everything.
Bringing some coochie. What? Bring a shark coochie board. That's it. cap check. Am I running?
Not the gifts in the background, though.
Hilarious. So this weekend we pulled up, we hopped on stage, and we did a thing.
We did. It was outside.
The Numbers Black Podcast Fest. And there was a star-studded lineup local creatives, black podcasters who got up on that stage and did their thing. I mean, I will say, you know, it's kind of like we headlined as the closer, you know.
I mean,
you know, we got to have a Bobby Whitney moment, you know. We got to give it to him, you feel me? And then we got Scream Man in the mix. He got his debut, Big Los.
You know?
We got him.
Building. Yo, not only did Los show up and show out, he got the people going.
Yes. Like, yes.
Big reactions. Screaming, in fact, into our podcast. Like, shout out to the audience for giving the good. It was super funny to me because there was nothing about what, like, say, the dog situation. Like, if you are a person who owns a dog, you are, what does Carlos say? That's a red flag, flat out. I didn't think it'd be that controversial. Like,
yeah, I did not either.
But I did not in any way think it was about to be like something people were jumping up and shouting for. And then in the entire back, we find out is like the Cat Gang, and everybody is on board for what Carlos is saying. And us two non-pet owners, like, I'm confused. I don't
that they really was up in arms about it. And then talking to him after he got off the stage, like he was the people's champ.
I mean, I think he was.
I was on the side, like, chill out, chill out, chill it out.
You know whose podcast this is?
that was a hilarious moment. And again, shout out to the numbers for putting on this event. Because it is giving a platform, getting people to understand what it feels like in person. You know, there's something to listening to somebody, there's something to watching somebody, but it's being in the space with people that really makes a difference. There's no lie. This is where I get where like comedians talk about trying to do during the pandemic, doing stand up virtually. It's not the same. You can tell the same jokes, you can say the same things, but it is something to being in the same room with the energy, to be able to feel the responses, even though the lights are so bright, you couldn't really see out there. I could definitely hear and, you know, hear some of the side whispers and chatter and chuckles. So it was like, okay, y'all are in the space, in the zone with us. But it's beautiful to have that, but it's also dope to have you out of the element of your typical recording setup. If you're not doing it in front of live people, which I don't believe nobody that was up there records in front of people live. So yeah, being able to do that in that capacity and give all those people a shot and a chance to, you know, do this and turn new people onto the pod and so on, I think is huge. So shout out to the numbers and appreciate y'all for that. How was your experience up there? Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. It was super fun. So for the festival, I'll just say real fast. Shout out to, like you said, all of the other Black podcasters. There are shows that I have been aware of, but haven't had the chance to listen to yet. And so to get to see them live, I think especially as the introduction to their show was tight. And shout out Dirty Roses, because they had they had four people as guests, which is a lot to navigate no matter where you are.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. Everybody was up there, you know, quiet when they needed to be, talking when they needed to be, all the things.
Yeah.
But it's always fun for me to watch other people talk about relationships, and I have to catch myself. So I was in the back listening, like holding my mouth with my hand, because there were things I wanted to say, or like laugh really loud or whatever, and trying to thinking about it in the way that this is a recording. This isn't like for my audience participation. And that's where I mess up as an audience member, because if it's live, like you just made me think about comedians, I will be up there dying loud. And like, that probably is not great for y'all. Like you know what I mean? Like it's one thing to like get the feedback, but if I'm still going and you trying to tell
get
you
on to the next part, right,
like I'm, a hindrance at that point. So I'm shout out to Riss. She made me realize, and it wasn't directed towards me in the moment, but it something she said during one of her shows made me go, oh, this is not helpful to you. Like, this is just messing y'all up, you know? So I try my very best not to do that. And I'm sure I did not. I'm sure I failed. But seeing other shows was dope.
Yeah, it was a moment where we were backstage that was hilarious, that I think you and I both thought we was back there talking too loud or something while they was recording, because the way Scambush came.
Yo, no shout out to Ambush for this. Literally zero negative shout outs to Ambush for coming in with the real heavy security energy.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, like I know I don't know how to whisper, and I tell people that when I'm supposed to be whispering, I don't know how to whisper, so we got to move away from the source of, you know, like it just, I don't have it. Yeah. So we're talking very quietly, And by we, I mean you. And I am reacting quietly because I know this is not for me to start talking. So as I'm about to be like, wait, I can't whisper, come back here or something. Ambush comes around the corner looking like a cop. You know what I mean? Like just that energy of like, hey, man, down. So I knew that I couldn't have been too loud in that moment.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could have been too loud. So immediately to me, I'm like, they can see us. Like,
oh,
it's a shadow puppet situation. Like they see us behind or something. Like that was where I was like, oh no, the lighting somehow.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, and I was terrified. Yeah, exactly. I was terrified. And it just happened to be that he was messing with us.
Yeah. That was definitely a moment where I was like, whoo. Oh. There's nothing like not being aware that you're distracting. Distracting a production.
Yeah. Like, let's go over here where no one could see or hear us and
do
this thing out. I was terrified.
Terrified.
Anyway, the whole experience for me, sorry, I'll be really quick, was super tight. And I will say that I was a little concerned just in a venue. Like it was at Lloyd Center in an old store that isn't a store anymore. And I was like, how does this come together? You know? And man, I walked in there like, how do they get this space for Always? Cause if they could just have this set up in a whole production studio behind it and like,
look, I said the same thing. I said, when I walked into that space, it felt official. Not that I expected anything different.
Right,
it just, it was morphed into, oh, this is the stage. Like this is prime time right here. That lighting setup, the nice little decorations, you know, having the elevated stage, just everything about that setup, they did it right. And then, you know, having sectioned off with the bodega going along with the vendor that was there, food vendor, it was perfect.
Man, and shout out to the bodega too. Like that setup looked great.
Yeah.
They just know what they're doing. They incorporate as much as they need to. They don't try and do too much. They don't try, you know, like and I'm just trying to figure out, do we need a GoFundMe? What's the situation to get them that space? Because even the cash wrap for that store became their like whole audio visual control center. And I was like, literally perfect for that. It's just this setup is for y'all setup. Like we got to find a way to make that be true.
I'm like, based on what them spots they give the lawyers, like, let's get three brands of the piece up on a space. You know? Like, for real.
So you can holler at us about that. You won't.
Let's make something happen to the captains.
It was really fun. And they, so the Numbers does this twice a year. There's the fall and the spring Black Podcast Fest, and hopefully we will get to continue to be a part of that. Because it's podcasting is not like is not meant to be live, you know? Mm-hmm. And to do it live is a big deal, I think. I, you know, wouldn't say this if it was just me doing it, but
it is
a big deal. It's completely different. And especially if you have a scripted show or something, you know, that you are really doing a bunch of research, writing out what you're going to say and all of that kind of stuff. If you can do that then live, that's a whole different set of tools right there. It was great. I hope to see more people there. Just hope it grows, you know, every single one, because you're missing out. Like getting to be able to see people do something that it's just a different skill set to do it live.
It's not just a person who can have a conversation. There's one thing for somebody that can talk a lot. That's cool. Like that's one part of it, to be able to, it's definitely a skill, but to carry on a pod, and actually let me put this, carry on a pod for a length of time.
Right.
Anybody can get through three episodes, maybe five. But you realize that it's a, to put together something and to not keep going over the same thing
all the time,
is different. There are a lot of the conversations that you're having in general with your friends and people close to you are recycling a lot of the same conversations.
Right.
It's just, it's ongoing of the same thing. And not that we don't touch on some of the same things and topics and so on over time, but there is something to being able to talk back and forth without much dead space. To be able to play off of each other, understanding when to fall back, when to lean forward in conversation, understanding how to segue into other conversations, how to go on tangents and then reel it back in. All of those things are, it takes an amount of skill and a learning. It's definitely a learning process. That's why it's like when, you know, I know a lot of people are just like, people say I should start a podcast. And it's like that overall, when I read that, I think that first off, I don't automatically go to you'd be great at the podcast. I'd be like, that's them telling you that you talk a lot and not necessarily in a bad way, but you definitely talk a lot. And that's probably what they're meaning, or you're good at giving advice, things like that. But that doesn't equate to a good pod, right? Like giving your friends advice about their situations, unless you're doing one of those people call in and or leave you messages and you just spend time responding, telling them what they should do. Yeah, it's tricky. And then getting in front of people live, because when you're on a pod, you're essentially able to have your inside jokes and things like that with your co-hosts or whatever that may be. And you're not getting immediate feedback. So you two or three or however many people are on your pod are typically your feedback. So you could be a great flow there, but then being in front of people and you're talking and people are in real time being like, or disagreeing or super agreeing. So it can be, it's just so many measures that get thrown into the mix. So anyways, being able to do that in person is something special. And it shows for the people who were up there that don't do this in front of people regularly, but were able to take their craft and pull it over into an audience, just let you know that they have it dialed.
Yeah.
And that's what's dope. Yeah.
And shout out to all the people that came out to see folks too. Like,
yeah, that was tight.
I think every city, no matter the city people live in, they think their city is unique in the way of like haters or no access to, you know, getting their word out and platform and whatever. And it's always like, only in Portland would people not show up, you know, that kind of thing. And one, it's everywhere. But two, you don't have to manufacture any sort of hate to have people that like you. So celebrate the people that are showing up for you instead of the lack of people that didn't, you know, like it was really tight to see people show up for other people's things, not even having any idea what they're going to talk about. What's the, you know what I mean? Like, cause again, a live show is different than a regular pod. Like you're going to do it a little bit differently. And I loved just seeing the support that people had.
Okay. What I do want to do is give a quick from another event. We got just a couple minutes left here, but definitely want to give a shout out and a highlight to Woke PDX and the Dear Black People event, in which we both attended and participated in two different realms. I was one of the moderators and you were one of the panelists. Mm-hmm. Sharing your experience in dealing with mental health struggles, battles, triumphs,
all those.
And you came in, you won the hearts over from the rip. You know, you did the morgue. You did the morgue and the people loved it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Number one, I want to disappear. Number two, I don't know how to take compliments, obviously, at all. I'm like, I had a lot of fun at that event. And there's something to any sort of speaking, like, for lack of a better word, like engagement. Like, I am always incredibly nervous or anxious both about what's going to happen. I want to know, like, from beginning to end... How is this going to go? Mm-hmm. And I just have to say that walking into there and seeing you in ambush, I just immediately felt safe. I was like, okay, yes, it's going to be fine. Yes. Like, you can fall on your face, Morgan, and it's going to be fine. Like, someone is, you have two people here for certain who will make sure you're fine.
Yes.
And you aren't the only two, you know, when anybody else hears this, I don't mean the whole team would have just let me like flounder out there. But I mean, though, you two were the first two people I saw when I walked in that room. And I was like, okay, you know what? Everything that you're worried about right now, it's you're going to have to just let that go. That if you continue to do it, that's on you. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you're okay now. And the panel was tight, but if we could just move, I know we can't say a whole bunch, but like Dr. Joy DeGruy, who is a former professor, a historian, scholar, academic, all the things.
And Black mother.
And a Black mother.
Mm-hmm.
She really did a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her keynote speech really did a thing. And there was one part I was just recalling with Ambush, because we were watching something about a racist teacher having a moment with a student. And in her keynote, she said, now I'm going to say something and watch all of the Black people in here say, be able to answer me. And it was, I don't know what the problem is. This teacher just, and the amount of people that were like, doesn't like me in unison.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has been an experience for me without being able to just be like, because, you know, at the time that that happened, it wasn't like I had necessarily the vocabulary, right? Or I definitely know that this is the thing. But I have like a very specific teacher in mind who put me in a place that I just could no longer even fake it. And at one point I said, like, told her I hated her. And then we had to have a, you know, parent teacher conference or whatever. And my mom is mortified. How dare you tell this teacher who's trying to, I don't know, help you, I guess, that you hate her. And I kept saying to them, like, she just doesn't like me. And that sounds insane coming from it. Yes. And the validation that we got in that moment of her being like, you know how many Black people can say that because it's true? The validation that gave me, and I don't just mean like I was seeking that confirmation. We didn't talk about that. Like, I didn't know that that was going to be a thing. And that was life changing, honestly, because you sit with stuff in a weird way. Like, maybe I did something weird. Maybe I was wrong. Like, I will internalize stuff to make it my fault all day long. That really wasn't that, though. And so to hear somebody in the profession be like, nah, they just don't like it. There are going to be teachers that simply do not like it.
Which is
change the game.
It just, you know, thinking about that and how, as you said, an open-ended question that almost everybody was able to answer the same with, that is a clear experience. And this idea that, you know, you'll get the people who are at, oh, that's not in their job title to like you. It's like, no, to be in this field, like, there's something to being in that field.
Yeah.
And if there's only a set of, because if this was a room of some other people, would that have been the answer? No.
No.
Doubt it. I'll say doubt it. I'm not going to say I know definitively, but I'm going to say doubt it. Yeah, there's just a lot we could unpack with that. But with that said, we got to get ourselves up out of here right quick and right now, because it's the end time. If you want to hear more, then just keep listening to the pod, because we're going to be talking about it some more, some way, somehow, shape, form, or fashion. So with that said, thank you all for joining us. Another episode down. Follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow more at Portland Morgan. Follow our sponsor at TheIXBrand. That's the 9 brand. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. And with that being said,
it's checkout time. Gotta go. Yeah, baby.
It's checkout time. Gotta go, man. Gotta go.
Y'all know what time.
Come on, man. Get your bags, man. Call that bell, motherfucker.